I had a friend. About almost 27, 28 years ago, when I first came to America, and I was here in the Bible College. The man was very rich. He owned a lot. I don't want to say too much because I don't know who is going to watch this broadcast. But he was very strong. He was a businessman. I was very close to that family. All of them. And something happened. And he found out in his business, the FBI found out there was something somebody told on him. This man is one of the best givers in the church. It was a blessing in this community. He gave me my first watch when I came to America in the Bible College. Amazing family. But when they discovered this situation, they took him to court. He was found guilty. They sent him to jail. He spent 2 years in jail. I want you to listen. When he came out of jail, he was never the same. He was never the same. He was never, never, never the same. Whatever he was before going to jail was a success. He was a mover. He was an influencer. He was a businessman. Vibrant. But when he came out of jail, 2 years, something happened. He was never the same and never recovered. He tried to do business, he did. He wasn't the same again until he died. I have another friend here. I won't say too much, but I was in their wedding. And I was very, very involved in that marriage. Both of them went to Lee University years ago when I was there. One of them, the female one, the father was very rich, was a minister, but I owned businesses. This young girl and this boy that got married were very happy. This girl was the apple of the father's eyes, and they just gave her anything. Happy. The wedding was expensive. I went to their home in Florida, and they lived in Palm Beach. Beautiful home. All of a sudden, something happened. Their home was burnt. Something happened to his business. The father went from this charismatic, great, amazing, wealthy, owned church, came on this side, a broken man. Lost momentum. A few years after that incident, there was a problem in the marriage. I went to visit to comfort this couple. At that time, the father has moved from this great home and now living a three-bedroom If you see the house, you will not believe it. And when I saw this glorious couple here, they were never the same. They were completely devastated. Something has happened to their soul, to their life, that they were not the same people again. Unfortunately, when that thing happened and they stayed there now from top to here, it affected them so much, I didn't even recognize this man anymore. Unfortunately, I went to the back of the house where they were living. The daughter was doing something at the back. She was guarding. I went back, I've not seen them in a while. And I looked, when I saw this girl, I mean, this girl was like a model, beautiful. It was everything Palm Beach people want to look like. But when I saw her this time, I wasn't seeing the same person I used to know. She was completely in this. She has been impacted with what is going on with the parents. Something has happened in her soul. I could not recognize her. And that thing, that shift in the soulish realm, that fracture, affected everything about that marriage. From that time, as I counsel the man now, I had to let him know where this all started. It affected them a lot. I could say more, but I wanted to stop there. This morning, on this side, I have a friend. He was the editor of Charisma and made Charisma very popular. He was the editor. His name is Lee Grady, very good friend of mine. He sent me, we do this Bible study together every week. We send texts, scriptures. He sent me a text last week. He said, my mother passed away. He said, on this side, I was very close to my mom. And COVID came. He said it was not the COVID. It was the fact that I could not reach my mom because she was in a nursing home. And in that nursing home, she became isolated. And he would speak to her through a glass then, and all of a sudden, along the process, something happened to the mom because something she was used to without that war that was no more there. And the mom got angry, and he can tell something has shifted. And right here, she passed away last week. And Lee Grady wrote me, he said, it was not because she was old. It wasn't because of health. It was because there's something here that she lost. And it was loneliness and isolation. Took life away from her. And he sent a scripture to me that Paul sent to the church, where Paul says, I long to, in great affection, to be with you. And he says, Michael, always remember, there are things people go through and things that happen to people, but don't let them be isolated. Isolation is a breeding ground for why God told Adam, I don't want you to be alone. It's not like Adam wasn't a busy man. Adam didn't have a lot. But Adam needed people to relate to. The days we are living in, Satan has an agenda. And if you keep yourself isolated, you don't know what's happening inside of you. There's a reason why the Bible says we've gone to Zion, to the general assembly of the saints of God. Even in heaven, they need to be together. More or less here, with so much evil, loneliness, depression. Why do people want to be married? You need somebody to pour your heart out. Why did God create family? To break the power of solitary. And some people will tell you, I don't need to go to church. I don't need, because they've been so wounded. They isolate themselves. But the good news is this. There's a man here. His name is Paul. He was vibrant. He was on fire. He was full of grace. He was changing the world. He was amazing. And the enemy thought he could stop him. Just like everything that happened to the people here and there. And the Bible says everything hell can throw at Paul came. It says, whether famine, whether persecution, affliction, went through the fire, went through bandits, went through everything you can imagine. Finally, what the devil loved in those days, accuse him, do all kinds of things, and then finally threw him in jail. And Paul was here many times in jail, in isolation, beaten for the gospel, humiliated for the gospel, afflicted for doing good. But while he was here, like a lot of this situation, instead of Paul to be depressed and to diminish and to give up and to quit and to be affected, he grew even more. He wrote the greatest epistles we read today out of a place of affliction, out of a place of solitary, because he had a content. He had something that can never, whether it's famine, height, depth, persecution, whatever, is something Paul has filled himself with, that even in isolation, it was, God, I've wanted to be alone with you all a while. He was unstoppable. He said, we are persecuted, but we're not destroyed. We are this, but we're not. We are this, but we're not. We're this, we're not. We are more than conquerors in the same place. He was in jail when he wrote to the church and said, rejoice, I say, rejoice. He was in jail comforting and encouraging people who were going through things. Why? There was something in him that was no more dependent on self, the soulish realm, or the flesh. He has put on Christ. He has put on Christ. So this morning, the Lord knows the generation we live in. He knows the season we live in. And he knows the times that we live in. It's not like any other time. 50 years, 100 years ago, you've never seen what you're seeing now. Nations paralyzed. Nations apprehended by a virus. Presidents without solution. Governments perplexed. People afraid to breathe in public. People living in fear, in crisis, in torment, in isolation. Afraid. You know, the fireman, it's not a fireman because he read the manuals on how to deal with fire. Amen. He read the manuals quite all right. But it's a place where the manuals are no more what you look at. It's inside of you. Because the fireman is not called and he has time enough to read, what do I do? He's called always on emergency, suddenly. And why people are running away from fire, he's running towards fire. Why? He was prepared for it. The policeman doesn't sit and read a manual. How to go deliver, break into, deal with thieves and deal with bandits, deal with smugglers, deal with self-slavers and all kinds of evil. Dangerous people. No, they don't use manual. There's a time where you study. There's a time where you prepare. There's a time where you practice. There's a time you've been taking through training. Now, you don't need this. It's you. And when they call 911, when people are running from bullets, running from fire, running from bandits, they break in and they know exactly what to do to apprehend the situation. Why? They have been trained. They have been empowered. And why people are running away, they are running towards that. They've counted the costs and they received the training. I don't think there's anybody here, even the board of medicine and hospitals, first of all, will not employ or even interview a medical doctor that all he still has is knowledge. It's manual. How many times have you been to the hospital and a doctor has to study the manual and do an operation? You don't have to be studying a manual and doing operation because that's an emergency. So you have to, there's a time he spent 7-8 years taking these things and making these things become him. He doesn't have to read a book in the hospital. The book is inside of him. He has been put through tests. He's been put through practice. He's been put through a lot. So when they draw this person in, blood flowing, everything flowing, nobody knows what to do. Actually, people are crying. He's going to die. A doctor steps in and begins to take care of this. Where is time for you to look at manuals? Medical books? No, he has become a doctor. It's not head knowledge. It's a practice. I don't know how many of you like to fly in a plane and the pilot, all he has is head knowledge. He's flying the plane, he's looking at the book. He takes off and he's going to say, let's look at the manual how to come down. Flying a plane is not a roller coaster. And you just go to come back. Flying a plane, sometimes you're carrying up to 400 lives in your hands that are families. You can't afford to make mistakes. So they went through manuals. They went through books. They went through study, and they went through training, and they went through practice, and they had to pry that. They have to learn how to fly a plane over and over. And they can't even trust them with a plane. They have to have somebody, and they have to sit on this side and still watch and still observe and try before they can trust you with another life, a human life, for you to carry them in there. They have become a pilot, a practicing pilot, not a manual. Christianity is not a manual. It's not reading the Bible forever. This Bible is a person. If that person is not in you, who are you? The crisis we face, the situations we face, the things we face, who responds out of you? Is it you or is it Christ in you? I want to read something to you this morning, our scriptures. Because one of the things that God has laid on Zion's heart is, if you spare the word, you corrupt the people. You must obey the Spirit. Anybody that leaves this house must be challenged to know what the faith is all about. It's not the number of people in a congregation that matters. It didn't take more than 6 people to take down Osama bin Laden. It's not all those 100 soldiers. It's those SEALs that they've been trained beyond the ability of human levels. 6-8 people deal with a powerful man. Why? Because of what they've been adopted to be. So my prayer is, this place will be filled with believers, not head knowledge, not manual readers in the time of crisis. There is something inside of you that God has given us, and he said it's greater than everything else. That's why we go through trials. That's why we go through persecution. That's why we go through the things we go. If you are not tested, how do you know that you're a Christian? So let's open our Bibles to the book of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. Verse 6 came out of a question one of the disciples, the apostles, asked the Lord. He said, Thomas said unto him, Lord, verse 5, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. Because Jesus just finished telling them, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come and take you with me, so that where I am, you'll be. And Thomas asks a very critical question. He says, we don't even know where you're going. How do we even know the way? And I believe that's where many times we are in the church. We find ourselves in a building with congregation, people preaching every day. We sing, we dance. Where are you going? Who are you? Why are you a Christian? What is Christianity to you? And these are questions, temptations, and trials ask us. Not what I'm asking you. The things we face out there are asking you this question. Last week I talked about dreams. How many of you will this week come back and say, I made a decision about that? I really question myself. Do I have kingdom dream? Do I have a purpose-driven dream for this house? For my house? For my... What's my dream? If you didn't ask, if you didn't make some decision, Pisa and Fufu has taken that away already. If you hear a word and you don't make a decision, it's gone. If you don't meditate on what you're hearing, it doesn't profit you. Because it's in meditation and hearing, you make decisive decisions. And when you implement those decisions, you see what you go through. And when you own that breakthrough, it becomes your life. I just gave you this example, not because there were good things to tell you, but trials exposed that these people have been in church, but they never really knew who they are. And trials fracture the ability to live out a victorious life in times of trial. I told you about that young lady. She was a pastor. When she graduated here, her father gave her one of a branch. She was pastor. I mean, they were gloriously blessed. But whatever happened collapsed their world. It was inside. Paul will ask you, what can separate you from the love of God? That is saying, is it famine? Is it food? Is it that? It was a reason he asked it. To find out if the Roman church, they really understand the essence of Christianity. Having a Christ-like nature. So, Thomas was asking Jesus here, he says, we don't know where you're going. How can even we know the way? So here's what Jesus said. Now remember, Jesus is a perfect representation of his Father's voice and actions on earth. The word of the Lord. Jesus said, I am, John 14:6. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Each of them is D, means only way, only truth, only life. Then he made a mighty statement. And this statement is the reason why every Christian that lives godly must suffer persecution. He says, no man cometh to the Father but by me. No man can make it to heaven. No man can make it to heaven but by me. No man can come to the Father but by me. By me alone. So let's look at these three things before we pray today. Jesus said, remember, it's a person. He says, I am the way. Now, the way is a path we must all walk through in this earth. As long as we're in this world, Jesus saying, I am the only way you're going to walk. The only path that will heaven will respond to. The only way. I am the only way. Why did he say that? Because in the previous teaching and later he said, because there's a narrow way and there is a broad way. He says there's a narrow way and there's a broad way. He says the narrow way leads you to eternal life. But the broad way leads you to destruction. Listen to this. He says, many follow the broad way. But few follow the narrow way. Broad way means there are so many lanes. There's the Buddha lane. There's the Muhammad lane. There's the Islamic, the Muhammad Islamic. There's the Hare Krishna. There's the philosophers. There's the New Age. There's all this. All of them lead towards a God. Every one of them proclaims they have a God. There's a religious way. A form of godliness, but no power. No conviction. No conviction. No change. Religion. So that broad way, there's actually a powerful governmental movement, Satan developed called the Illuminati or the Freemason. That particular organization that rules the world, they created that Broadway. Every religion in the world is part of it. And every one of them leads to a God. There is in their altar, you can have the Bible, you can have all the religions can come in and worship at the same altar to the same God. Jesus understood, God understood all the religions that was in the days, and they've never changed. They actually started from the Tower of Babel. And God scattered them all over the nations, Genesis 11. And they spread all over the world as an Eastern religion. Satan has followed that track through history. So he develops this human religion that every of this religion follow. And Jesus says, you see that Broadway? I'm not part of it. I am the only way. No man can come to heaven except by me. Amen. Can you remove the silence the other stuff, please? There's a way, Jesus says, that seems right to the eyes of men, but the end is destruction. Amen. You see, all these ways, you will hear the Islam tell you, you can die for this and die for that, and you marry 20 virgins or 100 virgins when you die. And all the things you receive, you can kill yourself for it. You can destroy people's life. The more you do evil, the more you're promoted. Hindu will tell you, all these different religions, the spirits have given them a doctrine. The ones that crucified Jesus, the religious group, also, they don't like the way. Do you know what is the Broadway? What appeals to the Broadway? Because the Broadway is that you never give up yourself. You never die to self. You never surrender self. You live just for yourself. Every one of those religions supports it. It's all about you. This way, you must have the cross. This way is 100% for the destruction, crucifixion of self, because self is the nature of Satan from the fall of man. So Jesus says, this way you have to carry your cross and deny yourself. Before we meet Christ, we have this body. Inside of us is a soulish nature. It's a spiritual. And it's what is called a self nature. That's the fall of man. That nature, everything about that nature is self. And self has three levels of manifestation. The first level is the lust of the eyes. The second is the lust of the flesh. And the biggest one is the pride of life. That's all John says is in the world, which is a self nature. So the whole reason Jesus came and gave us a totally brand new nature, brand new life, is because self cannot make it to heaven. And every one of this religion promotes self-sacrifice. So, Jesus is the only way. And that's why persecution must come. As the world gets closer to the end, the focus of persecution will only be against the way. In those days, they call them the way. The followers of Christ. Those are the only people that will be persecuted. Every other religion will agree to work together. And they're already doing that. It's called the one world religion. And they call this way the rebellious people. So we go from the way. Jesus says, I'm the way. We can discuss that way of I'm the way. So you have to walk that narrow way, because it distinguishes you from the lifestyle of the world. This part, you'll be comfortable with lust. You'll be comfortable with lying, cheating, adultery, fornication is okay. Divorce, all this. But this way, there's grace. There's the Spirit of God to help us become like Christ. Because we're going to heaven. We deny self. Then Jesus says, I am the way, I'm the truth. Now, if you're walking in this way, he says, I'm the truth. My brothers, there is no two truths. There is only one truth, and that's Jesus, as Christ. Truth is absolute. It can never change. And it will never change. It has never changed. It has been before time, in time, and forever. Truth does not change. And that truth is God. And that's Christ. Everything created and will be created, they were created until God now brings them into eternity. Everything you see with your eyes and was created is subject to change. But truth cannot change, because truth is light. There is only one light, and that's God. And it says in him there is no darkness at all. Truth has no substitute. Truth has no counterfeit. Truth cannot be made up. Truth is a person. It's Jesus. It's God. Everything else is a lie, because they are temporal. Truth is eternal. Truth is permanent. And truth can never change. And truth is God. Every religion, all through history, their leaders have died and gone. The spirits will continue to perpetuate our religion. But truth, there is only one person that has never died. He died in the flesh and rose again. Still lives till now. And you can encounter him. And it's Jesus. Truth can never die. Never. Truth can never change. Truth changes all things to become true. So Jesus is saying, you see this way that I am is the only truth. Don't Solomon had everything in this world, and he says they are vanity. Vanity means it's all a lie. I don't have peace. I don't have joy. I have everything in the world. So it's a lie. Why is he saying it's vanity? Means I thought if I have the whole money, the whole women, everything that eyes can dream of, I will be the happiest man. But he says I'm miserable. That means it's a lie. I have believed a lie. I have worked for lie. I am entertaining lie. So what Jesus is saying here is, I am the truth. If your life is not based on this, you are living in deception. Because all these things are Satan's bait, deception, to keep men distracted from staying the course. The only way to heaven. Everything else is a distraction. That's why when Paul came out of a lie, he was the most religious, the most zealous religion. He believed in it. He lived for it. He trusted in it. He gave his life for it until he encountered the truth. And it was light, and he opened his eyes. And he says, what? He abandoned this and says, and went and gave everything to forsake the truth. And when he found the truth, he says, I have a new vision now. He says, read the life of Paul. He became possessed, zealous. When he says, now I don't care about every other thing. They're like trash to me. I'm going to live for the truth. I'm going to contend for the excellency. I'm going to give my life to experience. I will keep pressing until it's all I am. And I'm dead to everything that is vanity. And then he said to the church, even though we live in this world, it's okay because we're here. But we are no more living for the world. We are in the world, but we are no more of the world. That's truth. When you find the way, you find the truth, and you stay in the truth, you begin to find out that everything else is a lie. I was going through something recently. You know, before the doctors practice, before the firemen, they have to practice. They have to be tested. It's like the Lord says, you've been preaching this thing for a long time. Now let me see what is inside of you. He knows, but he wanted me to know. Like Abraham. So God put me through a test. It was a very mighty test. I've never been through that test that way. And it was, I was standing between death and life. And the Lord said, what is inside of you? What do you believe? I was crying, God, if you don't save this situation, you have to do something. This is not a joke. I was saying, God, it's not a joke. He says, after a while, the Lord spoke to me in the midst of fasting. He says, this is the truth. I said, what is the truth? He says, death is a liar. Life is truth. I conquered death and I gave life. I have the keys of death and hell. Put yourself in my position, the victory, and you find out. I did and I found out. Death left. My brothers, if you stand on truth long enough, everything that is lie will change. That's why Jesus told the woman about prayer. He says, a widow woman knew her right. She knew the truth. She stood on it. It took time for going back and forth. No, no, no. But he says, the truth prevailed. If you found the truth always wins. The truth will set you free. Because God is truth. And he justifies truth. He says, but God will be patient, long-suffering for a moment. Meaning he wants to see if you really believe in the truth. If you really know that's truth, you will get justice. Prayer is not pray today, you don't see it, you leave. You didn't believe the truth. If you believe the truth, you not give up until lies changes. Sickness is a lie. It's a fact. But it's a fact for the world. But in the kingdom of God, sickness is a lie. Because Jesus defeated it. So if you stand long enough on the promises of God, and you keep fighting and pushing, eventually when your faith passes the test, you find that sickness is gone. Anything that disappears and gives you health is truth. Every other thing is subject to change. God told Moses, go this way. God says, I am truth. I have spoken. I will never lie to you. Moses, go this way. I'm leading you this way to the promise. Moses got here. It's Red Sea. In the flesh, people look at the Red Sea. That is truth in human mind. There is no way there, Moses. You are leading us in a wrong, in a lie. But the word of God is truth. Because it's the only thing that is unchangeable. It changes every other thing. Because it's truth. Moses went to God. God says, I have spoken the truth. Go that way. Because listen, truth is not a letter. It's a person. If you obey that person has already gone before you. So Moses obeyed. And the lie was exposed. The Red Sea gave room for the truth. No mountain is truth until truth comes. Everything is a lie until truth comes. Truth is the only thing that doesn't lie, because truth is God. It changes everything. That's why Pharaoh said to Jesus, "What is truth? Can he judge truth?" He was convicted and he washed his hands. "I cannot judge that which is true," and washed his hands. My brothers, this is not a letter. If it's still a manual, you have not found Christ. If you're not tested, you will not take this thing from head to heart. When I was going through some testing, it's like, God, he said, just put in practice. And I practice. There's truly peace in the midst of storm. You can be looking at something that looks like it's truth today, but as long as you're standing and God says, "I have given you victory," your heart will align with truth. That thing will still be there. Human beings will still say it. But after a few days, it disappears. That's why Paul says, truth gives you peace that is beyond human understanding. Because truth is a person. And when there is storm, he will rise and speak for you. We've taken too much on the way, the truth. Now he says, "I'm the life." Hallelujah. I'm the way. If you're going in that way and you're walking in truth, nothing will stand in your way. Even the Red Sea obeys the truth. Sickness bows to the truth. Death flees for the truth, because he says, "I have come to give life and life abundant." That's a thief that came to steal. You caught him, and God drives him out. He says, "I'm the life." What? Life? No man can come to the Father except, see, if you're walking in the way, you're experiencing the truth. He said, "Now you're going to find out I am the life." My brothers, what is life? What is life? You know what most of us call life? Expires when we stop breathing. Everything that you live for, that oxygen supports you to live for, is not life. Because when your oxygen is over, they say you're dead. But Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." That means there's something alive that death cannot conquer. If you're living and oxygen goes away, and everything you live for is the focus you're breathing, is to live for oxygen, you're not living for Christ. Because everybody else lives for oxygen. Why are you born again? If your life is dependent on oxygen, you're as worldly as the world. What separates this way from this way is because this way cannot die. It's an eternal life. Once you're walking on this way, he says, "I've given you an eternal life." You can't die. Your life is not subject to oxygen. And when God was telling me this, he says, you need to emphasize this, because many times people are becoming too miserable in funeral services. My children never die. Jesus said to Mary and Martha, "Do you believe this?" The life there, if you go Google it in your Greek, is the word Zoe. 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 Kaposhimeris Katinga. Zoe. Zoe is the life that has conquered death. Is the life that was resurrected and declare that death has no more sting. Zoe is the life of God. This is what Zoe is. He says, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. Nothing was made that was made without the Word. And he says the Word was Zoe. The Word was life. It's not the life that depends on oxygen. Amen? It's not the life that ventilator tries to survive. It's the life you keep saying, you can't die. You must live and declare the works of the Lord. And oxygen begins to come back. Because truth prevails over lies. This is the life here. Death transcends everybody. Sickness, all this stuff. But the Bible says, if you read through the Bible, Jesus says, it was in the Old Testament, but Jesus says to us, I am leaving now and I'm commissioning you. My brothers and sisters, this is what he says. He says, you will lay hands on the sick and the what? Means something is victorious. Then he says, you will raise the dead. What dead is he talking about? You give them back oxygen. Somebody that depends on oxygen cannot be given oxygen. It must be something greater than oxygen. And in the day of Pentecost, God, from his life, from his nostrils, breathed fresh life, eternal life, into the church. And that life, he said, is indestructible. Say, don't fear those who just take away your oxygen, but fear him who rules over both oxygen and beyond oxygen. The breath that we breathe as born again is not oxygen. Is the life of God. It says Zoe. That's why you're born again. That is a new DNA other than this DNA that perishes. My brothers, if you start understanding this Bible, you will have passion for God. You have too much to benefit than to be religious. Why will somebody tell you to come to church? Are you born again? Why will you be struggling about the things of God? The things God... See, if you read the Bible very well, how many times have you seen Jesus begging people to become Christians? Actually, one man came when he was preaching, a rich young guy, coming and say, oh, I want to, what shall I do to say, be it? And he says, okay, give up all you have to the poor and come and follow me. It was a test. The man went away sad. Jesus, a rich man coming to this church, and you preach and he got angry that he's leaving, he won't come back. Today our mind is going, who will pay the bills, the tithes and the offering? Jesus looked at him and the man went away grieved. You know why? Because if you don't really understand what you are being given, there is no price for it. There is nothing you can give for eternal life. There is nothing you can give for this way. There is nothing you can give for the truth. There is nothing you can give for the life of God. This life is talking about is finally you get to understand what it means to have a father. All the fathers we have here are like us. They have flesh. They have mistakes. They have limitations. They die. They go. But this one says, this is eternal father. This one has capacity to show you unconditional. This one can do everything that makes you really settle. Yes, now I understand. You gave me temporary stewards here. Temporary. But now I understand what it means to be a father. He said, no man can come to really know what the Father is all about or by me. So my brothers and sisters, as we close, you're walking in the way, you have to settle it. There's a price to walk in this way. You can't just live anyhow. You can't just compromise in everything. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego says, let the rest of the people bow to the gods. But you know what? If it's because we're going to die, we must not lose the focus of this way. And Jesus defended them. Daniel says, prayer is my life, is all I have. They said, we'll throw you to the lions here. He says, this is not where I depend. My source is not. My source is this way. If God doesn't defend me, I know where I'm going anyway. They brought lion, and lion could not eat the truth. You know, the good thing about the gospel is, don't preach what you are not living. And if you preach what you're living, God have mercy on those who trash it. Because it bears witness, you receive the truth. Finally, how does the Father look like? Because you can see him. How does the Father look like? If you're walking in the way, you're walking in the truth, and you have the life. How does the Father look like? Go and read Psalms 91. You can't see him, but the Father is Psalms 91 experience. There's somebody who watches over you. There's somebody who keeps you from evil. There's somebody whose angels support you. There's somebody who makes sure when you cry, he answers. There's somebody who cares for you. You might not see him, but Psalms 91 says that is the atmosphere of your Father. If you dwell in him, if you walk with him, he says you will be under his covering. And he'll provide for you. Father, the plague is upon our generation. The trials are everywhere. We have come to you. And Father, you are truth. You are the only way. And you are the life that cannot be destroyed. Father, we desire to stay in this path. And we thank you because you do your path as we stay in your promise. You promised us in Psalms 91. And your blood will speak for us. That your voice, no matter, Paul says, we can be persecuted, but we are not destroyed. There can be famine, but it's not our limitation. You said in all things, you have made, put your love in us. That in all things, whatever we go through, you said your love always prevails. And you always, you are our victory. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I leave you this morning, I want to leave you with a picture of all the stories I told you. This is what the Lord reminded me. You see, Christianity is not this. It's all this manual and letters. Whatever is inside of something is what will come out when pressure comes. We call this toothpaste, isn't it? You can't have it without putting pressure on it. You see all these people that I told you their story? Somebody put pressure on them. And they were wounded. They were hurt. They were fractured in their soul. And that became a vice that destroyed where they're going. But Paul, filled, he said, be filled with Christ in you. filled with the word. Become. And when pressure comes on you, Christ will come out. He will speak. He will act in love. Everything that is Christ, this one brushes your teeth and makes it shine and smell good. Amen? But when you push what is inside of you, love will come out. Goodness will come out. Patience will come out. Faith will come out. Because Christ will come out under pressure. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Manuel, you can come and pray for me. Thank you.